Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 110, and today is Monday, February 25th. What I want to start off today is talking about the show itself. Maybe it's a bit of like a meta topic. First, I just want to say thanks for all the positive feedback I've gotten about restarting the developer interview series. Talking to Brent, talking to Marco has been I've gotten a huge amount of feedback saying, yes, keep doing this, keep talking to interesting people. That's been awesome. And so that's definitely something that I'm continuing to do. I'm working on scheduling those, and exactly how and when they happen will kind of vary based on my schedule and the schedule of those I'm trying to get. But definitely look forward to that. And related to that, I'll probably be looking for some interesting things that I'm going to be trying out on the show, tweaking in some ways the format. I expect there'll continue to be episodes like this one that's 15 minutes. That's something that I do, just me talking into the microphone. But I like the flexibility and the experimentation of what, sort of the last couple of episodes have been. And I have some ideas for where to take that. So just something to keep in mind, something to look forward to. And you may have noticed, for example, I'm starting to consider the interviews as part of the show. So this is episode 110, counting Marco's as 109. And so it's just part of the show now. And I think that's an interesting thing. I think I like breaking out of the 15-minute mold a bit, and it lets me address topics at a lower level. The 15-minute limit initially came from the challenge of if you're just one voice talking, there's a limit to how long you can do that before it kind of gets repetitive and wearisome, both for me as doing it and for the listener as well. And so I'm looking for ways to change that, and so look for all kinds of interesting things. There may be some shows I do with a co-host, maybe some more interviews, some interviews with people who aren't developers. There'll be some things to just kind of mix it up. And hopefully I think that'll enrich the show more fully. I think that, like I said, if you like it because it's short, they'll still be short episodes, I expect, but they'll be interspersed with other things that are more long form to hopefully kind of address a broader variety of interests as well as just improve the show more generally. All right, with sort of the meta topic out of the way, I can kind of move into the actual topics I'm going to talk about today. And I have two. And the first one I'm going to do is I'm going to answer quickly a question that I got from Francesco Di Lorenzo. He asked if I had any advice for CS students or students more generally. And I thought that was an interesting topic. And I've actually gotten a fair bit of feedback from people who listen to this who are students, who are people who aren't doing this professionally, who are, in school at various levels, but all the way down to, I've had some kind of, reach out from some people who are in middle school, which is awesome. That's a great thing to hear. And I think about it as, first, it's probably fair to say a little bit of my educational background. I went to high school and so on in the States, and then I went to do my undergrad in computer science in England, and then I came back to the United States to do my master's in software engineering back in the States. So I have a fairly varied educational experience, and of course, your mileage will vary based on where you are. But generally speaking, I'm going to kind of address this if you're coming at it from a student who is studying, computer science or software engineering or computer engineering or whatever it's called at your university. And first I want to say is one of the things that often comes up is whether a degree is useful if you want to be a developer. If you wanted to say, for example, you wanted to end up doing something similar to what I do in terms of being an independent software developer, is going to college worth it in that way? And I think that that's a complicated question, and it's especially going to be complicated by who you are and what your interests are and the kind of the skills and the temperament that you have to start with. I would say that school is for most people primarily useful in the long run for understanding who you are and for exploring and expanding your ability to work independently. For most people in high school, it's very prescriptive in terms of your time, what you're doing, how you're doing it, etc. And as you move through the different levels of higher education, there's more flexibility that's given to you in terms of your managing your own time. Typically, you're moving away from home for the first time. And so you have this opportunity to have control of your schedule, to see how you work, when you work, how you like to work. And college is a great example of a place where you can do that in a safe environment in terms of you're learning life skills and you're learning professional and career skills in a context when there's not a lot of consequence for downside. If you don't do your homework, you may get a bad grade, but it's not like not shipping a project that you're contracted to do so, where there's a lot of complicated and potentially even significant impacts on you as a result. So college is great in that sense. And I think a lot of people get too wrapped up in, oh, I'm learning something that I don't need to know or whatever. That's part of the goal. That's part of the interesting value of school, is that it's teaching you less these skills that you'll be able to apply later on. There'll be times that you have to do work that you don't like in your career. And it's good to have you to kind of develop the skills and the mindsets of how to deal with that. What do you do? How do you approach those problems? And that's not to say that the actual things you learn aren't useful. And certainly they vary from department to department, from school to school. But I would say I learned a lot of things in my degrees that I use today, though certainly not all of it. And the things that I use more and most frequently are concepts rather than sort of implementation things. And so this is sort of to speak to, the languages that I did most of my learning in college, where I learned Java and I learned ML, which is a functional programming language, neither of which I use at all today. I use, primarily Objective-C and Ruby. But the actual languages didn't matter. What mattered and what was important was learning concepts, was learning about how to structure object-oriented designs, how networks work, how CPU works, building little microcomputers with transistors. Like, that's useful because it gives you context and it gives you depth and it gives you an understanding that will help you down the road. And if I'd give you some advice for CS students is make sure that you understand that you're trying to learn the higher concepts rather than getting too stuck in the weeds. And I'd recommend that you really try and make sure that you're understanding things at a lower level rather than just at a rote level, rather than just trying to memorize all the facts to put out on a test, because you're kind of missing the point if you do that. And two, I would really, really encourage you to work on side projects that aren't related to your class as much as you can, in the sense of it's the same advice I'd give to anybody who works in a regular career too, is it's a great opportunity. You have a tremendous amount of time when you're in college. You may think you don't, but you do. If you just wait until you're a proper adult who has a job and a family or a mortgage or things, like, you have a tremendous amount of time that you can waste right now, and you can spend that in a wasteful way, or you can take advantage of this opportunity to be experimenting with new projects, to be building apps, to be building web applications, to be doing things on a regular basis that are interesting and building up a skill set that will allow you, when you finish your degree, to be showing off a really impressive resume to your future clients, to your future employers, or to have apps in your stable that you can already start to be using in terms of trying to build an independent workflow. And so I think that's an important part of it, is to understand you probably – as much as, being 18 and feeling like, oh my goodness, I have no time, this is so hard, you understanding that this is probably one of the easiest times you'll have in your life. Certainly that's based on my experiences with a lot of my friends and people who then, it's like, oh my goodness, I had so much time in college. It's like, yes, you do. And so use that well. Use it for things that will have enduring value. And understanding that your degree is largely just a stamp that says you did it. Don't get too wrapped up into necessarily all the ins and outs of that, but understanding that you'll learn some skills along that process, and the better you are at sort of your overall skill set, the better. Obviously, you're not going to be going to school in your first job. You're going to be writing code or doing whatever as a software engineer, so work on those skills as well. Okay, so for the second thing I wanted to talk about today is talking about app.net and developers. And this is something that is somewhat topical in terms of just a few hours ago they released a free tier, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I wanted to talk about it specifically in terms of how it relates to developers. And I wrote an article about this that you may have seen, talking about the realities of being an app.net developer, talking about kind of how sad it is that there's this interesting platform with some interesting capabilities and things, but the platform itself is very hard to work for as a third-party developer because there's not that many users. I think right now app.net has about 33,000 users or so, and not all of those are active on the network. And so it's kind of a tricky thing to make a living there. Just there, if you're for your business to have a sustainable sort of business model, if every single person has to buy your app, that gets really difficult from is that realistic perspective. And so it's really kind of interesting in terms of the way that the app .NET Developer Incentive Program is developed, which is basically an alternative way to make your money, where rather than selling your apps, your clients, whatever they are, you get a kickback from app.net based on, you know, how happy your users are and how many people are using your apps. And this has caused kind of a tricky thing because first it was Tweetbot and then I think it was Repost are two app.net clients that have recently gone free. And essentially what they're doing with that is they're trying to fight for a bigger and bigger piece of the developer incentive program. Instead, you know, sort of eschewing paid sales and just saying, hey, we just want as many users. If we can get, you know, if we're free, we can get all 30,000 of the app.net users to use our client, we'll make a better living from that than we would from sales. And I think certainly a lot of people have got too wrapped up in the fact that, oh, it's a race to the bottom. They've totally, you know, taken the bottom out of the people, what people expect for client sales. And the reality is it's always dangerous when you start having those types of thoughts. Individual developers have to make the decision that is best for them. And that's just sort of, I think, one of those universal things that you just kind of have to come to grips with, that if a developer feels like he can make more money at free than he could with paid sales, then that's a perfectly reasonable thing for him to do, for him to change his business model and to head in that direction. And I think a lot of that is because, I mean, that ultimately, would you rather that they do that or they not develop? You know, would you rather just be only hobbyists who are developing something? It's like these are the natural consequences that, as much as we'd like, in an idealistic or absolute sense, to say it would be great if developers could write apps and then get paid lots of money for it and have tons of customers just throwing money at them, wouldn't that be great? That would be awesome. I would love that. That would be great. But if that's not the reality, then let's make sure that we're not questioning developers' motives, because that's a dangerous game to get into. You don't know their situations. You don't know exactly why they're doing it. You don't know all the numbers that are going into that. So first, understand that that's a better perspective to have on that. And then two, it's understanding that it's just a really hard market to be in, and so, you know, cut them some slack. I wanted to talk about the app.net freemium model, which was announced today, which is basically they have opened the doors to users on the network who have never paid anything for that. And basically that's to say, if you are a user, I think each user gets a certain number of invites and you can invite a friend. It reminds me a little of the Gmail rollout model a while ago. And if you invite somebody, they can come and they can be a free user initially. And so basically I think you can limit them to 40 followings. So you can only follow 40 people on the network. There's a limit on the number of files or the size of files and the total number of files or something like that you can have on the network. So there's a few limits. And I think this is great news for developers. I think what it does is it creates a sustainable incentive or a sustainable customer base for developers to incentivize them in building new things, in terms of now all of a sudden developers can expect or hope that on a daily basis, more and more customers will start appearing on the network in a way that will allow paid sales to become more and more of a significant opportunity or possibility. And that's great. I like that as a model, and I like that it is a change that they're making that I think addresses a lot of those kinds of problems. I'm not sure if it's strictly better for the network in terms of, obviously, now there are people who are consuming resources on the network who aren't paying for that. And part of what app.net's sort of core value was that it was user-supported, user-paid for. And so if suddenly those users aren't paying anything, and obviously they're limiting the size and the scope of it by using an invitation scheme and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is it's what will happen down the road with that will be tricky and will be interesting and something that I'm sure, Dalton Caldwell and those guys are going to be having to navigate and kind of understand. But overall, if you're a developer of an app.net client or you're thinking about it, I would say this is definitely a good sign in the right direction, to something that they're going to be improving the ability of developers to be able to make a living by expanding out the user base, which is awesome. All right, I think that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach out to me. I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on app.net at @DavidSmith. And like I said, I'm going to be tweaking out sort of some of the formats, some of the changes for the developing perspective going forward. And if you have thoughts, feedback, things about that format, people you'd like me to interview, concepts you'd like me to try and tackle, please let me know. And probably the best place for that kind of feedback is just to email me, which is david@developingperspective.com. And I'd love to just gather some feedback about what you're interested in, what you like about developing perspective, what you don't. It would just be really helpful. All right. Hope you have a great week. Happy coding. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.